Genesis 21, verses 1 to 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, and as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. She added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt.
Continuing at verse 22. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, God is with you in everything you do. Now swear to me here, before God, that you will not deal falsely with me or my children or my descendants. Show to me and the country where you are living as an alien the same kindness I have shown to you. Abraham said, I swear it. Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, I don't know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today. So Abraham brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs you have set apart by themselves? He replied, accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well. So that place was called Beersheba, because the two men swore an oath there. After the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called upon the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Genesis 21. Let's pray before we start. Father God, we pray that as we look at your word now, that your spirit would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray that you would both challenge us and comfort us as we reflect on your faithfulness to your promise in giving Abraham and Sarah the promised son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was thinking about how I was going to illustrate what was going on in today's passage, I came up with the idea of telling you a story about something that I really, really wanted. I wanted so much that I felt like everything was going to be better if I had it. Now, when I mentioned that to Tamara, she offered to give me a list of things that are like that, and it'd probably be a long list. But when I sat down to try and think of one, it's interesting that I really couldn't think of any. Because those things that seemed so important at the time just didn't seem all that important anymore. But after I thought about it for a while, I did think of one. Now, at the time, I was preparing to have my wisdom teeth out. And it was going to be done in the chair. So if any of you have done that, you know that's not something that you look forward to. And so I was doing my best to distract myself. So what I had my eye on was a V-twin high-performance motorcycle. At the time, when I was just heading off to go and get my wisdom teeth out, I made the commitment to go and buy this bike. Now, of course, it didn't make getting the wisdom teeth out any more fun, but it gave me something to look forward to. And around a week later, I excitedly went and picked up this new bike. It looked really good, and it sounded even better. And I really enjoyed owning that bike. But as time went on, life got busy. It ended up sitting in the shed getting dusty. And as much fun as it was riding that bike, it wasn't much fun paying registration on something that I didn't use anymore. So after 2 or 3 years, I sold it on to somebody else who really, really had to have that bike. It's funny how some things can feel so important at the time. They feel like you have to have them. It can feel like once you have that thing, everything's going to be better. But sooner or later, the shine wears off and you realize that you still have all the same problems that you had before. Abraham had something that he wanted too. And it wasn't a gadget or a big motorcycle. It was an heir who would carry on his family name. And over the years, Abraham had made lots of attempts to try and find someone, anyone, who could be his heir. In chapter 15, he told the Lord that Eleazar of Damascus would be his heir, because that was the only solution that he could think of at the time, given that Sarah was unable to conceive. Then in chapter 16, Sarah gave Hagar, her maidservant, to Abraham. He slept with her to produce an heir. And as we'll find out later in this passage, that only made matters worse. But in today's passage, the child that God had promised Abraham all those years ago was finally being born. The thing that Abraham had wanted so much, the thing that he would have done anything to get, he was finally being given that thing by God. And so it's not hard to imagine that Abraham was probably thinking, or at least feeling, as though everything was going to be smooth sailing from then on in. But as we look at today's passage, we'll see that even though Abraham and Sarah received the promised child after all those years, life was not going to be smooth sailing. There were still lots of struggles and hardships that they would have to face. What Abraham wanted, a descendant of his own who would bless all the nations of the earth, was far better than anything that Abraham could have ever been tempted to chase after or to try and achieve in this life. But that doesn't mean that life was going to be easy from then on in. And in the same way, those who put their faith in Jesus, those who have put their faith in something that is far greater than anything we could ever chase after or try and achieve in this life, well, we aren't going to face a smooth, easy life, even though that's what we sometimes expect. But what it does mean for those who trust in Jesus is that our hope is certain and secure because of what God has done through his Son. So let's look at the verses for today. So in verses 1 to 7, we see that God keeps his promises, but waiting can be long and costly. So for 25 years now, 25 years, that is a long time. Abraham and Sarah had longed for the day when God would fulfill the promise that he made to them when he called Abraham to go, leave his homeland, leave his family, leave everything he knew and go to somewhere that he'd never been before. Now they'd gone through times of doubt, times when they tried to hurry up God's plan and fulfill the promise in their own strength. But now, because of God's grace, and not because of anything they had done, God was going to fulfill his promise. God had done exactly what he said he would do. And we're told this three times in the first two verses. Have a look there in the first two verses. It says, as he had said. And then a little bit later in verse one, it says, what he had promised. And then in verse two, it says, at the very time God had promised. The author wants us to know that what's taking place in these verses is the very thing that God said would happen all those years ago, all the way back in chapter 12, when God had told them that he would make Abraham into a great nation and that through that nation, God would bless all the people of the earth. Sarah hadn't been able to conceive even when she was a young woman. But now that she was in her 90s, long after the time when it was physically possible, according to the natural order, Sarah became pregnant and gave birth to a son at the very time that God had promised. Now, this wasn't an immaculate conception or a virgin birth, but it certainly was a miraculous conception. God was making good on his promise. Abraham named the boy Isaac, according to the word of the Lord, and circumcised him on the eighth day, as the Lord had commanded him. We learned a few weeks ago that the name Isaac means laughter. Sarah had laughed at the idea of having a child in her old age. She said in chapter 18, verse 12, will I really have a child now that I am old? But now that she'd given birth to the promised son, she says, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. It had been a long and costly journey for Abraham and Sarah as they trusted God's word beyond what they could see or understand. But now they had finally received the thing that they wanted most. All because God always keeps his promises. In verses 8 to 21, we see God's promise doesn't make us exempt from pain and suffering. On the day that Isaac was weaned, Abraham had a great feast to celebrate the birth of the promised son. You can imagine this being a wonderful, joyous occasion. But during the feast, Sarah saw Ishmael mocking Isaac. Ishmael was literally laughing at the child of God's promise. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul refers to Ishmael's mocking as persecution. We aren't told exactly what he said or how he went about this laughing at Isaac. But whatever happened that day really upset Sarah. And it upset her so much that she demanded that Abraham send Hagar and Ishmael away. Sarah was afraid. She was afraid that Ishmael would take away the inheritance that was promised to Isaac. Ishmael was, after all, the firstborn son. And so Sarah wanted them gone. And of course, like any father, this really upset Abraham. Abraham had longed for a son of his own. And even though he had fathered Ishmael out of impatience rather than trusting God's promise, he still loved his eldest son. Now, by this time, Ishmael was around about 14 or 15 years old. And there's no doubt that Abraham would have loved watching his son growing up and spent time with him. But now he was being forced to send his son away. This would have been a painful and agonizing decision to make for any father. But God comforted Abraham and told him not to be distressed, because this too was a part of God's plan. Even though Abraham was going to have to send his son away, God was encouraging Abraham and comforting him, letting him know that God would provide for Ishmael. You see, Abraham had been forgiven for sleeping with Hagar and trying to steal away God's promise in his own strength. But there were still earthly consequences that he was going to have to face because of that sin. And so Abraham trusted the Lord to do what he said he would do. He took some food and a skin of water, somewhere around 18 to 30 litres of water, and gave them to Hagar and sent them on their way. Now, we aren't told why Abraham didn't give them more supplies. Abraham was a wealthy man after all. He could have afforded it. But he may have only given them so much supplies in the hope that they wouldn't travel too far away, in the hope that he might still be able to have something to do with Ishmael, his son. But as Hagar and Ishmael traveled away, it wasn't long before they ran out of water and got themselves into serious trouble. By this time, they were probably both quite dehydrated and exhausted. And Hagar knew that if they didn't get some more water soon, they would both die. And so Hagar, when a bow shot, roughly around 70 or 80 meters away from Ishmael, and sat down and wept, probably because she couldn't bear to hear her son cry, but certainly because she didn't want to see what was going to happen next. But God heard. God heard, because he is the God who hears. God heard the boy crying, and he comforted Hagar, saying, "Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying." God told her that he would make Ishmael into a great nation, and he opened their eyes so they could see a well of water that was just nearby. God continued to care for and provide for Ishmael because of the promise that he had made to Abraham. See, Abraham had gone from rejoicing over the birth of Isaac to mourning over the loss of Ishmael. Abraham had received the child of the promise, but that didn't exempt him from pain and suffering. In verses 22 to 34, we see that God's people still live in a world that is affected by sin. Not long after Abraham and his household had held this great feast in honor of Isaac's birth, Abimelech, commander of his army, went to Abraham and asked them to make a treaty with them. Abimelech could see that God was blessing Abraham in everything he did. And of course, the birth of Isaac only confirmed that. And so he asked Abraham to show him the same kind of kindness that he had shown to Abraham, even though Abraham and Sarah had lied and told them that they were brother and sister. And Abraham, of course, he agreed to these terms. But once this treaty was made, Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well that he and his men had dug, but that had been taken away from them by Abimelech's men. That might not seem like a big deal to us, but having a well that you've dug with your own two hands taken away from you when you live out in the desert, your only source of water, this wasn't a little matter. This was a struggle for survival. When told about it, Abimelech, he claimed he knew nothing about it. But to prove that he was in the right and that he had done nothing wrong in this matter, according to the custom at the time, Abraham gave Abimelech 7 female lambs as a witness that he had dug that well. And so they named that place Beersheba, which means the well of swearing, or sometimes it's translated the well of 7. Then Abimelech and the commander of his army went back to the land of the Philistines, which is still incidentally within the land of Canaan. And once they were gone, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree, which seems to be a sign that Abraham and his household were now experiencing a time of peace, because this is the first time that Abraham takes the time to plant anything. And there in Beersheba, in this place where they'd sworn this oath, Abraham called on the name of the eternal God. Abraham had received the child that God had promised, and he'd been filled with joy. But he had also had to send his other son Ishmael away, which caused him lots of pain. And while he was having all of this turmoil within his own personal life, he was having to negotiate just to protect the water source that provided for his family. Abraham trusted in God's promise, but he was still living in a world that was affected by sin. Today's passage is reminding those who trust in Jesus that having faith in Jesus doesn't keep us from going through hardship and suffering in this life. In fact, in John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." God is always faithful to his promises, and his promises provide those who trust in Jesus with the secure and certain hope of life forever in God's presence. God's promise overcomes all obstacles. God was able to protect Sarah from Pharaoh in Egypt and from Abimelech, king of Gerar. God enabled a woman in her 90s to give birth to a son. And God was able to protect the child of the promise from his older brother Ishmael. God is able to change the course of history and the events of our lives in order to fulfill his promise. But that doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy in the here and now. Sometimes we can forget that God's promise isn't that we will achieve everything we want in this life or have the comfortable retirement that we'd always hoped for. He doesn't promise that our health will be good or that our finances will be stable. The hope of God's promise is that God has sent his son to die in our place, taking the punishment of our sins on himself, giving us the certain hope of life forever in him, where there's no more tears or pain or crying or mourning. I'm sure we've all wanted something that we thought would make everything better, only to find out that whatever it was, wasn't able to deliver. But even though the hope of the gospel doesn't take us out of the troubles and hardships of this life, faith in the good news that Jesus has paid for our sins and has reconciled us to God, that hope enables us to endure through hard times as we trust in the God who is always faithful to his promises. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your care and provision. We thank you for the wonderful hope that we have in the gospel, that even though we do face difficult things in this life, the hope we have in the gospel is sure and certain and is far greater than whatever we might go through. Lord, we thank you that you have overcome this world. that you have defeated the power of sin, death, and the devil, so that no matter whatever we are facing today or will face, we can face those things with certainty, the certainty of knowing that you have paid for our sins and that you have reconciled us to yourself through your own life, death, and resurrection. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful grace. In Jesus' name, amen.